Question 100. Shall not God avenge his own elect? Luke 18:7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? When women do it, we call it nagging. When children do it, we call it whining. When we do it in our prayers, we call it importunity, persistence, or tenacity. Jesus was trying to give us an understanding of God's view of our prayers. He made it clear that our Father was unimpressed with long prayers, unmoved by repetition, repulsed by the proud and boastful one, and prayers that tell him what he already knows. The place of prayer was also important enough for Jesus to mention it. He said that it is to be private, secret, and heard by our Father only. If we take all these points literally, avoiding the things that Jesus said were repulsive to God, like public prayer, boastfulness, repetition, verbose and unnatural petitions, and we replace our previous understanding of prayer with the things Christ said we should do when we pray, what would our prayers be like? Would our prayers resemble anything we're accustomed to now? For the most part, prayer has become, among the convention of Christianity, a sham. Men in pulpits cannot stand there, preach, or sing a song, take up an offering, or do anything without it beginning and ending in some pathetic, perfunctory prayer. Well, it's time to pray, when they launch into a paltry diatribe using the obligatory Elizabethan these and thous, making their request more to their audience than to God, and then seal it all into a neat little package by adding, "In Jesus' name, amen." One can almost see them smacking their hands together as if wiping toast crumbs from them and hear, "There, that should do it." There has to be something more to prayer than that. If one was to remove from the common public prayer that which was said for the sake of the ones who stand by, what is said for tradition's sake, what is said by habit, and what is said to comply with the denomination or theological understanding of the listeners, and one erased all that was not prayed in the attitude of "Thy will be done," one would have little left. If one further applies to what is left the fact that it was prayed in public and thereby was tainted with pride and arrogance, or at least self-consciousness, it makes a wash of the whole affair and renders the entire prayer totally useless. In other words, if we applied what Jesus taught, it would either change our prayers drastically or eliminate them entirely. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. John the Baptist also taught his disciples to pray. Who taught the Pharisees how to pray? They made long prayers and were considered by many to be very spiritual. Who taught them to pray? More importantly, who taught you? In the question, "Shall not God avenge his own elect?" one can feel a bite of frustration in Christ's voice. His message is, "Though he bear long with them, I say unto you, he will avenge them. He's not forgotten them." Jesus just finished a parable about a widow who was persistently nagging the judge to avenge her of one who had defrauded her previously. The judge said that he didn't care, because he didn't care about her or her cause, and said that he didn't fear God. Was Jesus comparing his father to this unjust judge? No. But when we persistently tell God what he already is aware of, we put him in the same place of a contemptibly unjust judge. We are, in effect, saying that if he were just, he would avenge us. If he were just, he would answer our prayer. Jesus wanted us to know that he is not unjust, and that he does regard man and will do what is right. We will be avenged, He will answer that which is His will, and though He bear long with us, it will happen. When we pray in this repetitive, importunate way, we should recognize that we're likely doing so out of weariness and doubt, but what is worse is that we doubt not ourselves, but God, and we become faint-hearted. This story started out by saying, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." We should pray, not beg. A similar parable is found in Luke 11:5-10. "Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. The man inside the house makes the excuse that it's not convenient to get out of bed and supply his friend's need, and later does so because his friend would not leave his door. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." Would you want to receive from God because you aggravated him? The phrase, "though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend," haunts me. Do I want what the Lord does not want? What if he gives me that which he does not want me to have, only because I have wearied him? But here Jesus is saying that we need not pound at the door and beg. We need only ask his will and wait patiently. "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Yet these very scriptures are taken and used to teach importunity as a virtue, as if God is only moved to action by those who are willing to ask, ask, and ask again as long as it takes. When we read that message into these scriptures, we, though inadvertently perhaps, make our loving God out to be equivalent to the unjust judge or the uncaring friend in our midnight crisis. Both portrayals are unacceptable. Our prayers need to change. We need to change our outlook and view of God as a heartless and unjust judge whom we are expected to convince or coerce. When you consider God as uncaring, you need to ask yourself, shall not God avenge his own elect? You need to ask yourself, do I care more than God does? Is this situation more important to me than it is to God? It may be that it is. In that case, you need to shift your priorities. But in most cases, you'll find that God is fully aware and is willing to act on your behalf, and will do so when the situation allows him to realize the full execution of his will. You need only rest in God and quietly think to yourself when doubts arise, shall not God avenge his own elect?